Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, September 8th. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Bob Wise from Concordia Seminary. Welcome back, Dr. Wise. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. And I hope you and your family and everybody else listening is doing well in Christ. That's good.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody's doing well. Thanks so much. Well, tell us, what do you have in ethics issues for us, Christian ethics, this week?
Well, I just want to make a quick comment. I get a journal called Science, and I've been getting this all years and years ever since I finished my PhD at University of Illinois, and this special issue came out on parenting, a legacy that transcends genes, and it's interesting. They open up, and this is expected in this journal, the comparison of dealing with reproductive technologies. It all starts off with Darwin. And I know you deal with this on Fridays and in terms of creation, but I just thought I'd let people know that I always tell people Darwin is dead and Jesus is alive. Mm. And but parenting, they show they basically show two gorillas, and one with a smaller hand and one with a larger hand. And then, but what is important in this article for people who are struggling over the use of in vitro fertilization, that is so-called test tube babies, babies that are made outside of the womb and then put inside, they are starting to see, and this is sort of circumstantial data at this point, but they're starting to track babies who are born outside, created outside the womb, and then put into the mother's womb. And this is a quote, and then I want to move on to another subject. They have a higher risk of all of the anomalies, all the complications in pregnancies, you name, for example, low birth weight, preterm birth, cerebral palsy, and other birth defects in assisted reproductive technology children. Now, I know that's science, but I think when people get into this, they're not thinking about some of the repercussions of these types of things. And I think that they need to know that they're starting to track these kinds of things. And I talked with one couple and before they got into this whole issue, and they said, well, we didn't realize that embryos are frozen. They didn't share that with us. And a whole bunch of other things. So I would encourage people who are getting into this, first of all, to talk to people who've gone through this, but more importantly, really to get back into the scriptures and talk about what parenting is. And this may seem a bit harsh, but it is the reality of parenting. When you get into this technology, they do freeze embryos that are removed, well, eggs removed from the woman and sperm from the man, and then they make anywhere from 3 to over 25 fertilized embryos or human beings. And then they only implant 2 or 3, and they freeze the rest. And I always tell couples, you need to consider parenting because you cannot parent a frozen embryo. And as Christians, we are called to parent our children. They can read this in Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6. So these are just one of the areas of getting back to the basics of catechesis of what we're called to be doing as parents if you get into this type of biotechnology. So that's kind of a quick overview that probably we could discuss in greater detail, but I wanted to just mention this firing that came about over a week ago at Koryesu, this here in Afton, the all-Catholic girls' high school. And there were two teachers in there, and they even give their names in the newspaper. And they were fired because they violated the obvious teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and a contract that they signed. And they were married in New York City over the summer, and they came back, and then Koryesu found out about this, and then, of course, they removed them because they violated the contract. And this whole article, of course, now there is a big movement at Koryesu with the alumni to say, you know, because they're, I guess, a fundraising thing, you know, we're not going to raise any more money. They shouldn't be doing this. They should be accepting of everybody. And the big thing here that I think is important for us to focus on is these two people and other people are saying we need to work towards a system of greater tolerance and acknowledgement of LGBTQ issues. Now, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer issues. That's what LGBTQ stands for. I think most of your listeners know that. And I think this whole issue of toleration, I've had some people say, well, but don't we have to just tolerate them, Pastor Wise? And I said, toleration to me is the same phrase as pro-choice. You know, it's kind of like, I wouldn't want to be a practicing gay, but if you want to go ahead, you go ahead and do it, and I'll tolerate it. I'll just kind of let it go and brush it off. It's a soft way of accepting a situation to be politically correct so you don't irritate people. But what the Roman Catholic Church has done here is to call all of us to the fact, and especially churches, with the issuance of gay boys into the Boy Scouts as of July 1st of this year, is to be very, very certain what they have in their constitution and bylaws of church and schools, and all, and especially what they say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, because all of this harkens back to the basics of Genesis, where you have a man and a woman created, not two men and not two women created, in terms of marriage. So, again, this whole issue of same-sex unions, otherwise called marriage, I just wrote an article on the struples that we've talked about, where two men and a woman are married, or two women and a man are married in Brazil, and now they're working on it up here in the United States. Called Thruples, welcome to the new addition to the marriage buffet. Mm-hmm. And this type of thing is important for all of us to be tuned into and to read what's in the papers, because this is a huge article. There's actually two articles on this. And I think that this whole issue comes to the forefront within the Lutheran Church of Missouri, sitting what President Harrison has already written on in terms of how we view this. And so that we don't become politically correct and get into this issue of toleration, but to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and those are them that testify to Christ. So we need to be very clear on where we are, but we also have to be very good listeners to those people who are struggling over their, what people call sexual orientation, which is not a very good phrase, over their homosexuality. And find out what's going on in their life and deal with it through a law gospel paradigm, as a caring person, not as a person that's already judging them into heaven or hell. That, of course, is the responsibility of the Lord. He does that. And I think that this whole issue here brings up this whole issue of judgment. We're not to judge people. Well, we're not to judge them into heaven or hell, but it doesn't say we can't judge, that is, judge or determine. We judge things all day. You know, if we see a child walking out in front of a car, we're making a judgment that that child could get injured. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to be also tuned into what does the word judgment mean in the Bible. So I just wanted to bring these two things up, Andy, that bring up the word toleration so people can start dealing with that in a theological framework of Jesus Christ. He didn't tolerate sin. He didn't tolerate anything. And so, you know, that went against the word of God. And I think that we don't either tolerate nor do we condone this type of action, but we have to be informed and clarify so we can witness the goodness of Jesus Christ to people.
I think there's a difference between tolerance and love. And in the scriptures, we're called to love, and we're given to bear with one another, but I don't think we're given to tolerance per se in the scriptures. We're given to love and to bear with one another. Don't you think there's a difference between love and tolerance?
Oh, unquestionably. In fact, just this past weekend in the church, you know, Romans 13 talks about, you've heard it said, the never-ending debt of love, Romans 13, and 1 through 10, and it talks about love is the fulfillment of love your neighbors yourself, love is the fulfillment of the law. And even the so-called golden rule, I know Martin Luther talks about this. There's a lot of love passages that tie into this. Love does no, I prefer the Greek word evil. It could be harm or bad or wrong. But love is about Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, God is love. And so it's not just a hugging and it's not brotherly love. It could be that too, but it's also when Jesus talks to Peter and says three times, do you love me? He uses two Greek words, agape, the sacrificial love, and he uses the brotherly love, mm-hmm. you know, that conjoins two people together. This isn't tolerating anything. This is a sacrificial love that bears the burdens of other people, as you have just said. So love is the fulfillment of the law and the golden rule. The people quote, love your, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. then they stop that. But that's not what Matthew 7:12 says. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So love is the fulfillment of the law, and what does the law say? So it's not just, well, we're going to tolerate it and let it go. Love would say, you know, this is not what Christian life is all about. And I think people who are listening to you clearly understand. Love means, yeah, you take the speck out of the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's eye, but it doesn't mean you don't do that. And I think parents and nieces, everybody that has relatives and concerns for people, you love them not to sin, but to present the law and the gospel to somebody, because this is clearly, as you have pointed out, Jesus Christ is love. And 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles are just loaded with that theme, that God is love. And that, of course, is bore out in Christ and his sacrifice and resurrection and ascension and his return. So that's something that we all have to, you know, discern, is to separate out what toleration is over against what the love of God in Christ is all about, as you have pointed out, Andy.
Yeah, the example of a child walking out into traffic, as you mentioned, walking out in front of a moving vehicle, you're going to make a judgment. You're going to do something. What is the loving thing to do? Tolerate the child walking into a dangerous area, or to do something out of love? We are out of time. Something to think about for the week, I guess. Dr. Weiss, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. Always good to talk with you.
You bet. Godspeed to you and your listeners, Andy.
Thanks. Bye-bye. You have a great week. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Peter Ill from St. John Lutheran Church in Chester, Illinois. Hope you can join us for that. And don't forget, Missionary Monday coming up at 8:40. Hope you can listen to that this morning here from one of our missionaries out in the field. And morning prayer coming up at 9 o'clock. All part of the ways to start your day with the Word of God and prayer right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.